Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
Joshua 2, circle verse 21. This is the story of Joshua's invasion of Jericho, made famous by VeggieTales. If you've never seen VeggieTales, you have a homework assignment after the service. But I'm telling you, VeggieTales lays it down for us. The story of the peas are amazing. The peas are amazing. But this is the story of Joshua and his invasion of Jericho and his encounter with the harlot named Rahab, who weaves her way into the lineage of Christ. It probably hurt the scribes to write that down. It probably pains the religious leaders to this day that a harlot named Rahab managed to weave her way into the family of Jesus. But we know the story. You know the story. God told Joshua, I want to conquer territory. It's time for us to invade territory. Jericho would be likened to one of the biggest cities of our nation today. It would be like New York City. And it would be like God declaring to a Joshua of our day, I desire to invade New York City. And as I invade New York City, I have some people there, and they are your rescue mission. Wouldn't it be just like God to declare to a bunch of Joshuas, I want you to invade the city of Lorraine, and I want you to invade the northeastern part of the United States by the power of God, and I want you to go there, and I want you to find there these despicable people, you know, the people that nobody thinks are of no reputation, they have no status, they have no means, they're not popular, they're not wanted, they've been marginalized, actually, they're heroin addicts, they're people of no, or perhaps they're people who think they're somebody, but I want to make them nobody so I can then make them my body. I just want, maybe they're Sauls and maybe they're people, but God, it's just like God to say, listen, I want to invade one of the most strongest fortified cities of the world and I want to make it my own. And the way I'm going to make it my own is I'm going to invade it and I'm going to find there a harlot that lives on the wall of that city. I'm going to invade territory there. You see that the territory they invaded became their promise. There's territory, church, that you're waiting to manifest, but God says, I need you to invade that territory before I can release that promise to you. I need you to walk on the thing I'm giving you. I can't give it to you until you invade it. You see that it was a stronghold. It was occupied by the enemy until God said, Joshua, send some spies in. And I'm here to tell you today that God's been spying on you. Okay. God's spying on you. There are areas and places and things in your life. He said, I've been looking at that thing. And it's about time that we conquer it and that we take control over it and that we have dominion over it. And that thing that you struggle with now becomes your promise. It becomes a part of your promise. God's looking to take you, the thing that's afflicting you, the thing that's resisting you. He's like, I'm going to make it your promise. I'm going to give you Jericho. You should probably know how important you are. That God would invade Jericho just for you. Do you see that? That God loves you so much. That He would send the armies of Israel into your life to arrest you. To bring you to a place. To reveal to you His purpose and His promise. His identity in you. To awaken within you heaven and eternity. To bring you into His family. That God loves you that much. If you're here today and you're struggling with acceptance, God wants you to know that He'll move heaven and earth to get to you. There's nothing He won't do to get to you. He'll bring a whole city to, He'll rout an entire city and bring it to its collapse just to get to you. He'll move kings and principalities and powers just to get to you. Just to get to Rahab. Rahab, they said, was a harlot. We'll keep it PG this morning since it's Easter. But she sold herself. Truth be told, there's a lot of us selling ourselves. Amen. For way less than we're worth. Living way beneath our value. Working jobs that are way beneath you. Living lives that are low. But somehow she knew. All the rest of Jericho didn't see it, but she saw it. And somehow, those spies, they made their way to her house. And somehow, in your family, you know. And somehow, God, He just won't let go. Somehow, God always finds a way to chase you down, to grab hold of you in the lowest moments of life even. You know, I could tell you the story about how I was in a nightclub called Uncle Vic's one time. Is that too much? Is that too much? That's too much for Easter? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Going through one of those times in my life, knew God was calling me, knew God sent spies into my night, knew He was looking at me, knew He was chasing me down, but I was trying to run, I was selling myself way short, I wasn't giving Him all that He wanted from me, I was cheapening my life, and I was selling myself way too less. And I was in that club that night, and I was just trying to run and outrun God. You ever try to outrun God? You can't do it. You know, you just can't do it. I'm trying to outrun God. And I'm sitting there in that club. And I got a long neck. Just follow me. Don't lose me. I'm sitting there in that club. And I got, you know, one of those things in my hands. And I'm trying to just ignore God. I'm just like, God, leave me alone. Like Jonah, just stop chasing me. Stop. Like, I'm in a place where you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be here, God. Could you just... like, you belong in the sanctuary. I'm in the bar right now, so just leave me be, you know, God. And you know, that was about the time when Kirk Franklin was singing that one song. And them DJs just kept playing it. They didn't even care that it was church music. They didn't even care. They didn't even care that Kurt was anointed. You know, some of y'all got mad when Kurt was singing that song, but Kurt was singing like, God's people, are you with me? And they started playing that. So, some of y'all looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. But Dr. Cynthia, they started playing that song. And I saw all those people dancing out there, and I was so mad. I said, God, what are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be. And all those people was dancing, and they was just, and I was like, what is going on in here? God has sent spies into Vic's nightclub to arrest me. And you know God chased you down in a place too. God found you in a low place too. And you looked up at God when you was high. You looked up at God when you was dirty. And God said, I'm here. You can run low. You can run high. You can go to the depths of the ocean. You can go as high as the sky. But you're not outrunning me. I got your number. I'm not letting go. Yeah, I'm not the only one. I saw some of y'all in there. I'm not the only one. You arrested me. I slammed that thing down. I walked out of there. My boys, where you going? They was out there, where you going? Man, I gotta go. They didn't know. God wasn't on them like he was on me. But God was on me for them. God was on me for them. And because he was on me, one of them is now over in Avon getting ready for church. God's on you for them. And truth be told, there's a lot of Rahabs in here today. Every one of us, if we go back through our lives, every one of us are a Rahab. Every one of us. He found us. He rescued us. And when he finds her, he said, I'm rescuing you, Rahab. Here's the deal. Verse 21. Joshua 2, verse 21. He said, here's the deal, Rahab. I'm gonna rescue you. And if you want me to rescue you, here are the terms of our covenant. This is the treaty we draw between us. Because you've got some work to do. I know they say it's free, but something has to happen. Something has to happen. Faith without works is something has to happen. And they say to her, I need you to take this cord, this scarlet cord. It has to be scarlet. And I need you to bind it to your window. And she said, according to your words, so be it. According to your words, so be it, preacher. So be it, spy from Jericho, spy from Israel, sent to Jericho to rescue me. So be the word of the Lord. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. She bound the scarlet cord in the window. All right, what do you do if you want to partner with God for your rescue? First, you have to bind the scarlet cord. Bind it. When you were a little kid, did you ever tie your shoes in a knot so much so that you couldn't get it out? You remember doing that as a little kid? And your mom would say, Troy, get your shoes on. It's time to go. And she's getting mad at you. It probably happened to some of us this morning. And little Troy was over in the corner trying to get his shoes on, but he tied a knot the night before. And he just, you know, we have a way of taking our shoes off without, we just flick them off. You know, your kids do that too. My kids do that. But you tied that knot so hard that you couldn't undo it. This is what God is declaring to you and me. Is that I need you to bind yourself to this word. I need you to bind yourself to the word of rescue, to the word of salvation, so strong that you can't undo it. I need you to tie a knot. I need you to tether to something strong enough that's strong enough to support you. You have to tie a knot so much so that it's strong enough to support you. Tether it to your window and tie a knot so strong that you can't undo it when you get comfortable. You can't undo it when you start to feel the symptoms going away. You can't undo it on Saturday night. You can't undo it. I couldn't undo it. I was there in that place, but I had tied a knot. I didn't know it. But when I gave my life to Him, on that one Sunday, and I sat right here for a few hours and lost myself in the Lord, there was a knot being tied in my heart. It was being tied so strong and so powerful that it would not come undone. It was tethered to my heart. It was tethered to the window of my salvation, and it would not let me go. God is declaring, people of God, you've got to tie the knot again. You've got to bind it to the window of your heart again. You've got to make sure that it doesn't come undone. You can't allow yourself to get in a place of compromise to where you're comfortable and everything's at ease again. And then you just, one more time, you just say, I'm going to loosen it up tonight so I can just let it go. And I'm just going to go out here and I'm going to do this. No. You've got to tie the knot to where it's so strong. You've got to commit yourself to Him. You've got to burn up the oxen. You've got to eat the oxen. You've got to do what Elijah did. You've got to kill them. You've got to eat them. You've got to use the oxen for the fire, the yoke for the fire. It's time to bind yourself. Your part in the mission of rescue to your life is to bind yourself to the word of the Lord. Psalm 18:31. For who is God except the Lord? And who is rock except our God? Bind yourself to the rock. Bind yourself to Christ. Bind it. Cut the ties. Something had to happen. Something has to happen. When you bind yourself to the Lord, there's this thing He causes you to do. He causes you to cut ties. He causes you to, you know what? That's not good. You got to cut that thing off. That thing is compromising you. It's that thing you've tied yourself to, it's rickety. Those people, they're not of covenant. You got yourself tied to some stuff that's not able to support you. And you've got to let it go. You're going to have to loosen those things. You're going to have to untie yourself from covenants that aren't in agreement with the rock in your life. We're going to have to loosen some things up in our life. You're going to have to untether yourself from some relationships. You're going to have to untether yourself for some circumstances. You're going to have to let go of some stuff if you're going to bind yourself like Rahab did. So listen, Rahab, here's the deal. I want you to take the scarlet cord. Take the scarlet cord. I want it to be red. I want it to be crimson. It means something. Don't take that brown rope or that blue rope or that green rope. I want you to take the scarlet cord. Scarlet. Because I want to be able to notice it. I want there to be a contrast between your life before and after. I want the blood to leave a stain that is indelible, that you can't move. You bind this cord to your life And suddenly you begin to see that this red cord stains everything. It gets on you. It gets in you. It's represented in your language, in your thoughts, in your behavior. It starts to change you. It now has left a stain on your life that affects everything. And God said, I need to see that thing in your window. So when I come to rescue you, I identify you. He said, the blood on the doorpost, I will recognize. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. The death angel couldn't go where the blood was applied. And Jesus is declaring, listen, you've got to put this blood back on your heart. You've got to live a noticeable life that's changed, that lives in contrast to this world and what it values and how it lives. People ought to know there's something different about you, Rahab. People got to know there's something on your life. There is an indelible stain from the crimson flow of Calvary that's left on your life that testifies to the glory of God in your life. You don't walk the same. You start wrestling with God, you walk away with a limp. You're not the same anymore. There's a stain on you that everybody notices. And you say, God, you're changing me. Jacob was changed. Is there a contrast? This is how you test it. God, is my life, is there a contrast? Is there noticeable? Is the stain of blood on my life noticeable? Matthew 26, 28. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you in the remission of sin. This is my blood, Jesus declares. His blood leaves a stain. Leaves a stain. He messes you up. His blood messes you up. He gets in there. You go to do something and suddenly the blood starts speaking. You ever have the blood talk to you? The blood will talk to you. The blood it'll yell at you. He'd have said, Troy, you're acting beneath your character. You're acting out of character. That's not how you ought to live. That's not how you ought to think. That's not where you ought to go. And you don't need to be police. What you need is the blood. You just need to put more blood on the doorpost of you. You need more blood. You just need to bind the cord again. If things start getting compromised in your life, just go to the altar and say, God, put some more blood on my heart. God, apply some more blood on my life. So that way, God, I'm not tempted that way no more. That way it doesn't speak to me louder than the blood speaks to me. Because when the blood starts speaking to you, It'll speak back to the powers and principalities of darkness that rise up against you when the doctor starts telling Cameron, you only got so long to live. But the blood testifies and the blood starts talking from the cross and the blood says he shall not die, but he shall live to the glory of God. Oh, the blood will talk to you. The blood will talk to you, but you gotta take the scarlet cord, apply it to your heart. Let the blood talk to you this morning. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. God, I just declare the blood of Jesus would talk to us this morning. Every circumstance, every situation, God, that needs a response. God, I declare the blood of Jesus to speak to disease. I declare the blood of Jesus to talk to heart disease now in Jesus' name. I declare the blood of Jesus to speak to broken hearts and bring healing. The blood of Jesus to speak to pride and break its hard back. In Jesus' name. Said, listen. Take this cord. Take this cord. You're going to need a cord of rescue. You're going to need something strong enough that can pull you out. You're going to need this cord. You got to have something strong. Scripture declares in Ecclesiastes 4:12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. One time I was getting ready to do something real dumb. Let's get ready to do something real dumb. I went zip lining. Now, the weight limit was, well, I'm not going to tell you what the weight limit was. But I was about 6 pounds over the weight limit, okay? Hush. Don't you judge me. About 6 pounds over the weight limit, right? So I get up there. Now listen, this is frightening, okay? So I'm about on a platform about this big with a tree in the middle of it that's only about, 2 feet wide. And there's this big cord running from the other tree. I'm about 70 feet up in the air. That's about twice what we are now, I think, right? So I'm about 70 feet in the air. And there's this cord. Well, they trick you too. They make you think it's not that tall, because when you look at the first one, it's only about 25 feet up. Then you get to the first one and there's no way off. And you get to the first one and you're up 70 feet in the air and you're looking down and you're like, and the next one is even higher and you're thinking, and then I asked the question, I asked it for those of you who are interested. I asked it, how do we get down? He said, you have to finish. So my, that's, I'm preaching. You got to finish. You've got to finish. God's declaring you've got to finish. There's no way down but to finish. You've got to finish this race. You got to keep on going. It doesn't matter how afraid you are. Doesn't matter what the next thing looks like. You got to keep on going. So I get up there. So my follow-up question was, what's this thing made of? How strong is this cord? How strong and reliable is the thing for which I'm about to attach my life to and go screaming through the air? How strong is this cord? Because I don't care. You can go call the police department or something and get me down from here. If you don't convince me that this thing is strong enough to bring me through, then I'm not jumping. I'm not about to go. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. If I need something strong enough to get me through, God, if you're not with me, I'm not going, because I don't depend on anything but you. I know there's nothing stronger than you. So if you don't go, I don't go. I said, listen, I'm this much weight. You thought I was going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm this much weight. I whispered it to him. He said, listen. This thing is good. You're good. I said, okay. Whew. All right. I didn't mind falling 20 feet, but I didn't want to fall 70 feet. That's a word. Some of us will take a little risk, but not a big risk. Some of us will jump if we know we can rescue ourselves. And God said, I need you to jump even when you can't rescue yourself. I need you to pray and believe for things that you can't do in yourself. I need nations to be saved. I need Lorain County to be on a revival. I need a third great awakening to begin right here in Lorain County. I need that to happen. You need to go ahead and jump, church. A three-strand cord, though, cannot be broken. The scripture says it can't be broken. So, Rahab, what I need you to do is I need you to take the Father's love. And I need you to take the Son's blood, and I need you to take the Holy Spirit's truth, and I need you to weave them together, and I need you to make a cord, and I need you to go ahead and tether yourself to that, because that thing right there, it'll pull you through. It'll pull you through. And actually, it's not you pulling. It's God pulling you. And God will pull you right up out of your seat and right into the will of God. God said, I need you to put yourself in my hands. I need you to jump on this cord, and I need you to depend on me. I need you to trust me. I need you to walk in the Father's love. I need you to trust the blood of Jesus. I need you to walk by the Spirit of truth.
Now listen,
the blood of Jesus, it will rescue you, and it needs to speak to you when you start condemning yourself tomorrow. When the enemy starts lying to you, the blood of Jesus needs to speak to you. The truth of the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. It's going to let you know where to go and how to get there. It's going to tell you stay away from that. It's going to tell you where the lies are, because it tells the truth. And the love of the Father is going to pull you up, going to give you identity. It's going to let you know whose image you have been made in. He's going to say, this is my beloved son. I love him and I trust him. I love him. The love of the Father, the blood of the Son, the Spirit of truth. Take yourself. It is the only thing strong enough to support you. Don't trust in governments. Don't trust in kings, horses, and chariots. Some trusted in them, but I trust in the Lord. Amen. I trust in the Lord. This cord was so strong. Let me tell you how strong this cord is. It was so strong that on Friday he died. Black as day. The day turned black as night. They took him down. They put him in a tomb. Dead. Laid there on Saturday. Early Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning. A cord from heaven went into the tomb. The power of that cord pulled death. Oh, did I hit you? Pulled death. Pulled Jesus right out of death. That's how strong this cord is that you attach your life to this morning. If it pulled Jesus out of a tomb, it could pull Cameron out of cancer. If it pulled Jesus out of a tomb, it could pull addiction right out of your loved one. If it pulled Jesus out of a tomb, it can pull you right out of the depths of despair and hopelessness. It can pull you right out of hell's grip on your life. It's that powerful. It's that powerful. And I close with this. Romans 10:10. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Rahab, I need you to take this scarlet cord. I need you to bind it. I need it to be scarlet. I need it to be strong. And I need you to put it in the window. I need you to put it on your heart. God wants your heart. He don't want your money. He don't want your talent. If he gets your heart, he's got everything he wants. Rahab, put it in the window. Put it in your window. The window is the means by which God wants to enter. And it's the means by which you find rescue. The window of your heart. God said, I just need your heart. If I get your heart, I'll find a way in. That's my way in, Rahab. That's how I get in. And if I get in, Rahab, I get you out. If I get in your heart, Rahab, I can get you out of Jericho. I can get you out of every circumstance, every tough spot, every hopeless thing, every broken heart. I can get you out. Even though it seems like death will reign and it will win, I'll bring you out, Rahab. But I gotta have your heart. I need you to take the scarlet cord, bind it to the window. Put it on your heart. Because for with the heart, it is with the heart that we believe. When you tell somebody, I love you with all my heart, Lillian, I love you with my heart. God said, I need you to say it to me. I love you with all my heart, Jesus. Because we believe with our hearts. You don't say, I love you with all my mind. You ain't never said that to your children. I love you with all my intellect. You don't say that. I love you with all of my information. I love you with all of my thoughts. No. You say, I love you with all my heart. When was the last time you whispered to God, I love you, Jesus. With all my heart. I bind you to my heart. I said, God, with my heart I believe. With my heart, my mind will worship you. With the heart, Paul declares, one believes unto righteousness. You won't be rescued. I need your heart. Romans 12:2. Rahab, don't be conformed to Jericho. But I need you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If I get your heart, I'll renew your mind. Don't be transformed. Don't be conformed to Jericho, but be transformed by your heart. God is declaring today, if you'll take the scarlet cord, tie it around the window. Scarlet. Blood of Jesus. I need you to tie it real good. Make a knot that won't come undone, church. Tether yourself to the cross. Tether yourself Christ. I'll bring you out. Come on, stand with me, church. Altar ministers, come forward. God wants to rescue you today. Some of us, wants to rescue you from your past. For some of us, wants to rescue you from your future. God wants to rescue you. Some need to put the blood back on the heart. Some need to tie the knot a little tighter. God wants to do a work today. God said, if you'll give me your heart, I'll bring you out. I'll bring you out of your Jericho. No matter what it looks like, I'll bring you out. And I'm dependable, God declares. I'm strong enough, God declares. I brought my son out of the grave. I'll bring you out of your circumstance. Come on with me. Lift your hands to the Lord all over this place. Sing a song to the Lord.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Come on, just worship.
Oh, forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus.
If you're here today
Christ,
and you have a situation where you need to bind the scarlet cord to your heart, we want to pray for you. Or if you're here today and you have a circumstance that seems like there's no way out, as if you're surrounded, the doctor said, the attorney said, the situation declares, there's no way out, we want to pray for you. If that's you, if you're one of those two things, what I want you to do is raise your hand all over this place. If you're one of those two things, you say, I need a rescue today. I need to reapply the blood. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Come on, close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, we declare in Jesus' name that your love is so strong and so powerful that it pulled Jesus from a 3-day dead grave. And if your love is that powerful, it can pull us out of everything we're facing today, of every obstacle, over every evil principality and power that aligns itself against us. God, rescue now like only you can. And God, if we're here today and we've not applied the blood, we're hiding and we're running, God. Your blood is so powerful that it speaks and it will not let us go. It left a stain, a crimson stain that cannot be removed. I pray, God, that now you would remind us of that crimson stain that comes from Calvary, whose grip is so powerful that it reaches down to the depths of our despair, into the trash dumps of life, and pulls us out into our purpose and destiny. Awaken eternity in our hearts. Awaken righteousness, God, as we call upon the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the matchless name of Christ, the incomparable name of Christ who conquered death. God, apply that blood again. Apply that blood again, God. Shake us, oh God, again. Awaken us, oh God, to righteousness. Awaken our hearts, oh God, to your truth. Declare to our tomorrow the power of your resurrection, the hope of your calling, the direction of your spirit, the love of the Father. Awaken a generation to serve you and love you with reckless abandonment. To not compromise or live a life beneath their value. They, oh God, remind them of their value. Remind them of the precious blood that flows from Calvary that cost your son his life with every lash, with every bruise. Awaken us. Awaken us. Now all over this place, lift your hands and just begin to worship. Awaken, oh God. Awaken us, oh God, once again. Awaken the church of the living God, the most powerful force the earth has ever known. Awaken, oh God, like only you can. We bless you, Lord. We love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome Pastor Jim as he comes. He's going to give us some final directions today as we
amen.
Close.
Before you go that way, if you have a need of prayer, there are still those here at the altar who would like to pray with you and agree that that resurrected Christ can change your situation. We want to thank you for joining us this Sunday morning, Easter, Resurrection Sunday at Church on North Coast. You know what? I see a lot of faces I don't see all year long, and that's okay. I'm glad you're here today. But I just want to encourage you. You have got to keep that anchor tied to this cross. And we want to help you do that here at Church on the North Coast. We want to join with you as family and strengthen those ties. So I hope to see you next week. I hope to see you next month. I hope to see you here at Church on the North Coast again. If you don't have a church home, please join us here. You need to keep the connection to that cross. You need to keep the connection to that empty tomb. And what better way to do it than with the family of God? Amen? So I want to just dismiss everybody, live right, love everybody, and pray hard.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.